The biggest thing we try to do as directors and as fathers is just, again, tap into that sincerity, is just find those emotional truths that I think everyone can connect to, whether you're an adult or you're a kid.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast, and on the line, I'm very happy to have Nick Bruno and Troy Quain. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, gentlemen. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Excited to talk about fatherhood with you guys in a second, but first off, congratulations on, of course, Spies in Disguise, the movie success in the theater. Now, of course, you can buy it on Blu-ray and digital, and we'll put links where people can buy it. You guys are both no strangers to animated films. Nick, you go first, and then Troy, you can follow up. Talk a little bit about, Nick, and how you guys approached this animated movie from looking over the screenplay, and of course, you know, it was adapted from a short. But talk about how you did that, you know, adapting it from the screenplay, and then, of course, getting the team together and start this movie-making process.
When we started way at the beginning, and it was just Troy and I in a script, you know, we were very excited about creating our very own spy movie. I mean, we love spy movies. And all the tropes that come with it, the action, the cinematography, the style, and it's just wish fulfillment watching a cool, like Lance Sterling be the cool spy. But what was important to us as fathers, because it might be the first spy movie for a kid, that we say something with it. And, you know, this movie has themes of teamwork, but it also has a very strong theme about nonviolence. For a character like Walter Beckett, he would say, if we're going to be the good guys, we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. Mm. And if, you know, violence draws a line in the sand and it continues the cycle. So it was important for us to teach kids a lesson through this, but still have fun with all the things we love about spy movies.
Yeah, and just to pick up on that, I mean, Lance is the world's greatest spy, and as such has learned how to not trust, right? And in the world of espionage, that can actually be a dangerous thing, having trust and being part of a team, whereas Walter comes in believing we're stronger together, right? That teamwork makes us better. And it was really a situation of art imitating life in that sense. You know, here at Blue Sky, we've got 550 of the best artists in the world. And it really was finding the best people to help us put that vision up on screen, to become partners and telling this story and making this movie. And we really do believe that if we're having fun working with the people we're working with, and there's a good camaraderie and teamwork, it can't help but show up on the screen.
Nice. I love it. And thanks, guys, for adding the fatherhood touch, because that was going to be a follow-up question about certain messages, especially, you know, for kids and all that. So you guys are ahead of the game. I love it.
Oh, great.
And one of the other great things, too, is the cast, of course, headlined by Will Smith, Tom Holland, Ben Mendelsohn, a bunch of great actors and actresses. Talk about the casting process. Did you guys kind of have these guys envisioned while you guys were reading over the script and planning the movie? And then also, too, how excited were you guys to have, of course, like the Fresh Prince, a.k.a. Will Smith, Tom Holland, all these great guys? I mean, Ben Mendelsohn is such a great actor. You can, you know, be a good guy, bad guy, what have you. But, of course, he plays a villain in this one. But, like, talk a little bit about, like, how you guys approached getting the cast together and how excited you guys were to get these great actors and actresses.
It was incredible. I mean, we started with coming up with the characters, right? The idea of the world's greatest spy. And Nick and I would just talk about who embodied that for us. Someone who is confident and, you know, a little bit cocky, a little bit dangerous, but still likable and charismatic, who could be action-packed and still have a sense of humor. And we just kept going back to our heroes as coming up, and the Fresh Prince was the guy. I mean, Will Smith, he was always at the center of our conversations, and it was like, this just is the perfect fit. So we pitched Will the movie, and he loved the idea. He loved the craziness of turning a man into a bird, but he loved the concept of an idea of togetherness, of teamwork, of making the better place through working together. You know, he really is big on those kind of messages. And from there, we just started building the cast out. I mean, Tom, we needed somebody in Walter who was quirky and funny, but sincere. But sincere is such a hard thing to do, especially when you're only using your voice. It can come off as really cheesy, but Tom is so good at riding that line and really making you believe in the sincerity of the character, and I couldn't imagine anybody else playing that role at this point. And then there's Ben.
Ben, listen, one thing people need to know about Ben always plays like a very heavy, serious, and often bad character, but in real life, he is the funniest, nicest, most giving person that we got to work with. And on this film, it was important to us because of our message. that our bad guy is not just a bad guy. He's a human being, right?
Yeah.
Nobody in the world says, I'm going to be a bad guy today. Everyone's doing what they think is the best for them, their people, their country, whatever they represent. It's not always the best choice, but sometimes we don't have the best options,
yeah.
right? And Ben was great at bringing not just that sinister feeling to the bad guy, but a layer of humanity that I feel like really leaps out of the screen.
The rest of the cast that rounds out with Reba and Karen Gillan, DJ
yeah.
Khaled, Rachel Brosnahan. I mean, we just had such an amazing cast all the way through, and everyone brought their A game. It was really great.
Yeah, if people follow you on social media, guys, especially your Instagram, you can see like how much fun and how much heart you guys put into this film. And it's great like just to kind of document the journey you guys were making in this great film of Spies in Disguise. And I'm a big fan of voice actors and animated series and all that. My kids and I really enjoy it. And I think you guys brought up a good point. Like, you want someone to be sincere, but how can you do that through just voicing something, even though it's animated? And of course, they can kind of create that, those mannerisms and stuff. But all these men and women are talented. Talk about, was there any like ad-libbing in the film with the cast at all? Were you guys like recording together? Or was it separate? Like, how did that work? And if they were working together, did they go off script and you guys kind of be like, okay, we'll go with that take?
Yeah. Well, great question. For us as directors, we know that it's our job to provide a vision, but we also know that the best stuff comes out when people are bringing themselves to the film. So it was important for us that the people we pick, that we cast, are not just great actors, but they're great collaborators and ad-libbers. You know, so getting in a room with Will, we have, you know, our script, and that's sort of the guideline and the story that where we want to go, but we have fun and we play. And there's so much of this movie was not necessarily what was scripted. It was what we were coming up in the moment, because animation it moves at a glacier pace. So to get that spontaneity, that's one of the best opportunities to get that is in that room. This movie, we really wanted to make sure we had a good buddy banter.
Yeah, and honestly, that is really the only downside to working with such an amazing cast, is that they're all amazing, which means they're all working all the time. So we desperately wanted to get them in a room together, and they wanted to get into a room together. But, I mean, we were lucky when we could get them on the same continent,
right.
Let alone the same city.
Yeah.
So all the roles were recorded separately.
Oh, wow.
But Nick and I really enjoyed that sort of work with the actors and being in the mix, and we would read in the rooms with them and just give them something to bounce off of, and that created a lot of back and forth with the actors, but we had a blast. It was such a great time.
Nice. Troy, like I said, you guys have had so much experience in the animation industry and with these films. As technology improves on these animated films, and I think you can tell, like, just the graphics and the way things are just put together in this, that sometimes you forget that it's an animated film because it's done so beautifully. Talk a little bit about, you know, Troy, you go first, and then Nick, you can follow up. Talk a little bit about the biggest challenge you've had still, like, when you guys do these animated films.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the sky is the limit with technology nowadays. There's literally nothing I think we can't accomplish with technology and in animation specifically. The real trick of it is just realizing that all that technology is just a tool to storytelling. It really does come down to, do we believe in these characters? Do we care about them and want to see them, you know, come out the other side of the story as better people? And are we enjoying the time we get to spend with them? And all that technology really just allows us to envision that, let our imaginations run wild. The biggest difference between animation and live action, I mean, in animation, we need to create everything. Like, live action, it's a momentous sort of effort to bring all those people together in one place. But with animation, we have to build every character, every brick of every building, every blade of grass. We even need to create the air that is in there, because light travels through different air quality differently and gives you different effects. So it's amazing when you think, like, you have to, if there's something on screen in animation, someone thought to put it there.
Nice.
You don't get anything for free.
Nice.
With all the technology and with all the things that we have to do, our toughest moment in this movie was not the car chases or the explosions or turning a man into a bird. It's just, there's this one point in the movie where the two guys, Walter and Lance, are on a yacht, and they have a little conversation about their philosophies. And they're really just sitting at a table, just talking to each other. And that was the most difficult thing we had to do on this movie.
Wow.
Because the words, every word means something. Every little nuance of the acting means something. There's no razzle-dazzle. There's no bright, shiny thing to grab your attention. If the words don't hold up and these characters don't hold up, the story doesn't hold up. And so it's, even with all the technology, like Troy said, it really just comes down to storytelling, and sometimes that's just a difficult thing to do.
Love it. Thanks, gentlemen. Because again, I think sometimes we take for granted when we're watching something, like an animated thing, it's like, oh, it's much easier because, you know, you're dealing with, you can just draw it, and, you know, if you add something, you need to. But I really appreciate the work you guys do into making these films so they're enjoyable for families. So thanks very much for that. This next question kind of blends into fatherhood. Nick, you can go first, and Troy, you can follow up. For any time that I write an article or talk about fatherhood on a podcast, my two daughters, definitely influence me. They're my muses, right? And I always think about certain things from not only a parent's perspective, but I try and put myself in my kids' shoes and thinking about, like, would they appreciate the story that I'm telling about them, whatever the case may be. Nick, talk a little bit about, like, how fatherhood has influenced the type of projects you take and the way you approach a movie. And is there anything that your children do that kind of influence you when you're making something? If you're, like, if you're basing a, you know, something on a kid or something in regards to a kid's mind, is there any influence from your family?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we try to do as directors and as fathers is just, again, tap into that sincerity. Mm. Is just find those emotional truths that I think everyone can connect to, whether you're an adult or you're a kid. As a dad, I have three young kids, and my youngest, Jarrett, did the voice of young Walter in the movie. What was interesting and something that came up is he definitely thinks differently and acts differently than a lot of other kids at his age. And, you know, he would sometimes say, you know, I know I'm weird, but he had such a good confidence and he felt very strong in who he is as a person, so it was never a negative. But that weird concept was something that we brought to the film because we're looking at a character like Walter who thinks differently, and people overlook him because he's not mainstream like everybody else, we'll say. And how important it is to look to those people who do things differently, a different way, because that's really how, when we embrace that, how the world can become a better, brighter place. Not just look to inspire them and have them be entertained, but your kids are your inspiration for these movies in many ways, and it really informs us as storytellers where to go.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. I mean, it really, the one word I just want to pull out that Nick said that is absolutely is truth. Everything that you're seeing on screen doesn't exist, right, in an animated film. None of it's real. But the emotions, hopefully, you walk out of the theater with are.
Yeah.
And the way, only way we know how to do that, to tap into that, is through truth, finding those moments that feel real because we've experienced them or we've experienced something similar to them, something that we can relate to. We always say when we're making the movie, what's the conversation we have with the family in the car on the drive home?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
What do we want that to be? You know, we want them to go, oh, this part is my favorite, this was funny, and this part was exciting, I liked when he jumped from the building. But also, what is the conversation? I liked how Walter was different, but he didn't give up. Or you want to have those conversations, give everyone something to talk about that hopefully resonates a little bit deeper, that they have fun watching it, but there's something more when they're driving home to discuss.
That makes me so happy that you guys are thinking about that, because we love, you know, talking about movies. I mean, that every family, right? You're done with the popcorn, you're getting to the car, and you're like talking about your favorite parts. And then as parents, you're like, all right, what can we learn from that, right? There's teachable moments in movies like Spies in Disguise. So it's like, it makes my heart so full when you guys are talking about that. So as a dad,
great.
Thanks.
absolutely. That's great. No, I mean, listen, we're dads too, and that's, I mean, filmmaker is a job, but dad is who we are. So these are the things we're always looking at and thinking about.
Nice. I got three more questions before we go into the fatherhood quick five. Troy, you go first, then Nick, you can follow. Talk a little about when you found out you're going to be a dad. What was going through your mind?
Terror. Sheer terror. No, actually, that was for comedic effect. The terror didn't come until after my son was born. It was wonder. I mean, it was like, this is... It's the insanity, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit mushy here, but it's the insanity of the idea that you're bringing this new life and this just this package of possibility into the world. And it's exciting and overwhelming in the responsibility to that, because, you know, especially when my son was born, he was my firstborn, all his little fingers were there. I was fascinated by his fingernails, which is so weird because they're so tiny and so perfect. Like, all the details were there. And I know how, as an artist, how hard it is when you're creating something to get all the details in, And there he was. Just all the little details were perfect. And I just remember thinking, who are you going to be? What are you going to do? Like, you find yourself as an adult down a certain path, but as a kid, it's just, there's nothing but possibility. And that was just, such a fantastic, exciting experience. And then my daughter was my second born, and you go, oh, okay, well, we've done this once before, and you realize, each same parents, same house, same everything, but they're so different, right. And you realize that, you know, even though they're this little package of open possibility, they come at it with their own personality and their own way of seeing it, and hopefully in a character like Walter, that's the kind of thing we want to celebrate, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. These different ways of approaching life and looking at the world are exciting, and the possibility is exciting. That's what you try to nurture in your kids, is that sense of wonder and that sense of wanting to see the world and make something of it. So,
yeah.
Just quickly, when you mentioned fingernails, that takes me back when they're newborns. Like, I love the fact that, like, as an animator, artist, and all that, you're like, look at the detail. But, like, I remember putting like those little mittens on my daughters just so they wouldn't scrape themselves and also, like, scrape you. And one of the toughest things for me as a parent was trying to, you know, clip their fingernails with that tiny nail clipper. And you know you're going to, like, hit their skin, and they start crying, then you feel bad, like, why am I doing this to them?
Has there ever been anything more nerve-wracking in your life but that moment?
Great metaphor for parenting in general.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
I know I have to do this. I'd hurt them, but it's for the best.
It's fascinating.
You know, for me, it was, unfortunately, it was all about me.
which is not how he is now at all.
It's not how. Yeah. No, but my honest to God first thought was, my whole life I grew up and I looked at my dad as just being invincible. Like, nobody could beat him up. Nobody was smarter than him. Nobody was funnier than him. And he was perfect in every way. And the second I found out I was going to be a dad, I was like, but I'm not that superhero, right? And I just realized just how human we all are, but how important a father is for their kid to just believe in all the good aspects of life and believe they can do and be anything. I wish to this day, you know, I'd like to think that maybe I'm a superhero in my kid's eyes, like how my father was, but I also hope that they see that I'm just human and that we all are not perfect.
It goes to show, like, you guys think about life, and, like, when you look at, you know, art imitating life and life imitating art, what you said right there, like, I still, you know, I lost my mom back in 2012 to breast cancer, but I still have my dad, and, like, you always think, like, he's the rock, he's always going to be there. You look at him and as, like, you know, even though I'm a 40-year-old man, I still sometimes revert to, like, when I was a kid when I talked to him about certain things, right? So you always have that mindset,
right.
Like, that relationship is, like, frozen in time in the sense, just because of the, you know, growing up, but, man, yeah. you guys are spot on.
Although I will say, Nick does reinforce the idea of not being perfect with me every day. I do have that.
That's fantastic. Nick, and then Troy, you can follow. Talk about some of the values you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
Being a good person, mm-hmm. I think, goes a long way. A thing that I'm all about right now is being self-aware. I know that might sound weird, but just being aware of who you are, how you're acting with people, not being afraid to apologize if you were too mean or aggressive, knowing when to stop trying to be a goofball in a room. If everybody else is trying to be serious, just being aware that you're a person interacting with other people, and everyone has feelings. And I know that sounds like a weird concept, but I feel like sometimes we just go through life and we're constantly worried about ourselves. We're really a community, and how we all interact with each other is really important.
Awesome.
My kids are a little bit older than Nick's. I mean, all those things apply, and hopefully you've already instilled those things. I mean, I'm watching them in high school now, and all the, you know, studying for this test. My son's going to go to college in the fall, and the thing I try and hopefully get across them is to love learning more than just sucking up information. Like, love the idea of learning. Open to the questions you don't know, that it's okay not to have all the answers on the test, but to be hungry to find out what those answers are. Just to go back to my dad, growing up, we had. Most kids will not even know what this is, but an encyclopedia set in the dining room.
Okay, hold on. Britannica or Funkin' Wagnalls? Because I had Funkin' Wagnalls.
Ours was World Book. Ours was World Book Encyclopedia.
Nice. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, organized by letter of the alphabet. And I remember, man, we'd be having a dinner, and we'd be eating, and I, without even thinking, would say, yeah, but why? And my dad would just look at me, and he'd point to whatever letter represented the question I just asked, and I'm like, son of a... but... I didn't realize what I was getting was such an amazing lesson. Like, that after a while I just started going to look for myself. You know, like, so it's not just have the answer, but learn to ask, love to ask the question and find out what that is. And I think that's a skill hopefully they can take into every aspect of their lives.
Awesome. Very cool.
Don't be jerks.
Yeah. Exactly, right? You want to make, yeah, spot on right there. Just be kind. Last question before the Fatherhood Quick Five. What is one big piece of advice? Troy, you can answer this first, and then Nick, you can follow up. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads?
Just try and realize that you should be present for all the moments. Oh. Even those ones that are driving you crazy when it's 3 a.m, you know you've got a meeting the next day and someone's crying, or you hear a little voice saying, "Dad, get up out of bed, go do it," because, like I said, my babies are no babies anymore. My firstborn's going to college. Those moments will pass. They'll move on. They'll become their own people, and you'll wish you could go back to those, even as annoying as they were in the moment. So it really is just embrace all those moments, be present in them. Even though it's killing you and you'd rather be sleeping or doing something else, just know that at one point they won't be doing that, and you wish they were. It's a hard one to learn, but it's definitely the most valuable thing I can say.
Yeah, I'm doubling down on that. That was the best advice I ever got. It was Jim Cameron, a story artist on Peanuts, just said, just remember, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or it's bad, they all just keep moving on, and so you just try to enjoy every moment when you got it.
Yeah.
It really is the most important.
You never think about certain songs until you become a parent, like Cats in the Cradle. Mike, that hits like everything, right?
Yep. Yeah. No, yeah, I cry way more than I ever used to.
No, so true.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Yeah. Good tears. All right, Fatherhood Quick Five. Well, just to make it easier, Troy, you can answer first, then Nick, you can follow up with each question. For you, Troy, favorite family movie. Again, you guys might be a little biased with this one, but favorite family movie you guys like to watch together. Besides, I'll give you the out. Besides Spies in Disguise, which is a great family movie, is there another movie you guys like watching together?
It's tricky. I mean, comedies. My family loves comedies. I've got a son and I've got a daughter and my wife. We all have different tastes. And it's fun to watch how those movies shift as they get older. I'm going to say one really good one, because my kids were a certain age, was Breakfast Club.
Oh, nice.
But we have a John Hughes kick in our family, because it's also Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's just something about those movies that, you know, sort of resonate beyond its time and for all the sort of ages my kids are. So those are the two for us.
Awesome.
The one that we have, and I might say something about my parenting, but it's the Pitch Perfect movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a perfect answer, but it's the one thing we all agree on and we all love. But it's, you know,
it's mainly because he likes to sing karaoke all the time.
But it's not appropriate for some really young children. So my youngest has grown up a lot quicker than he should have.
Just rub some dirt on it when they get cut or they get something. And you know, this is the method I've been using, because my oldest is now in middle school. I'm like, well, they're gonna hear it somewhere else, so why don't they just hear it with us, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. They ride a bus. It gets worse on
them. So true. Troy, favorite family song, and since your kids are older, probably not, but was there a band you couldn't wait to introduce them to when they got to a certain age?
All of them, and they dislike them all just to make me upset. For me, the one band that I've introduced them to that they will still listen to is Green Day.
Okay, nice.
That was a band of my youth that for whatever reason translates to my kids. Every other attempt I've made has gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Nick, what about you?
Again, we have nothing that we agree on musically in my house, and we're all very musical people. Baby Shark is up there.
Oh, God.
As being the song that we all like to annoy each other with. So it's just sort of a joke, and it's funny.
That's not going to leave my head for the rest of the day.
First it was Rick Rolled, now it's Baby Shark Rolled, right?
Right, exactly. Alexa, play Baby Shark. No! And then everyone gets mad. It's funny.
Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation, Troy. Where would it be?
Oh, man. Perfect family vacation? Really, it's just we like going to the beach. We lived in California for a number of years, and there was just something about going to the beach day. You know, we'd all pack the car, get together, and you could play some sports, sit in the sun, listen to music. There was just something about the beach that just brought us all together. So that seems to always be the one that we look forward to the most.
Yeah. For me, there's no such thing as a perfect family vacation. The whole thing is a mess. Everyone's arguing, but there's something about whenever you get back and you put your kids to bed the night before you go to work, and you're just like, damn, that was worth it. It's just the most special kind.
Except in those giggles. Yeah. But there's sand in my bed.
Yeah.
And then you regret something.
I'm definitely Clark Griswold, where I want it to be perfect, and it's just five very different people trying to get on a Dumbo ride.
Nice. Hopefully you didn't have any issues with bad sandwiches from the dog then, if you're like...
Yeah, little boy sweet, you got it. Yeah.
Okay, two more questions. This one for you guys. Who would you love to work with on your next project when you guys are creating another movie, animated short, film, whatever the case may be? Who would you love to work with next?
Nick Bruno.
Aw. Steven Spielberg.
No. Damn it. The fun of these movies is collaboration. It really is. There's those people you'd love to work with because you look up to them. Like, I mean, for me, the director I'd love to work with, someone like Edgar Wright. But there's the people you just want to spend time with. And I mean, it was a bit of a joke, but it's the truth. I mean, I love work with Nick. And so you want to pick those people you love spending time with, because these things are a labor of love. They take years to put together. But then the fun of it is also the discovery of those people you didn't realize would bring something exciting to the adventure. So it's a little bit of the unknown as well.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing. I love working with Troy. These movies take a long time. This took almost 5 years from beginning to end together. It's hard. It's definitely a lot of work, but whoever you're in those trenches with makes the journey worth it. We have an amazing group here at Blue Sky Studios, and I'd love to work with them again.
We still have lunch together. That's something.
Yeah, we do.
Nice. And
even
last...
when we don't have to.
Yeah.
Nice. And lastly, what are the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, Troy?
Why is that funny already?
I know. Three words that I hope my kids use. Wow, great hair. No, I don't know. Funny, kind, bossy.
All right, nice.
I'd go with, well, he tried.
Well, he tried. That was not fair.
I had time to think about it.
I was watching Nick think about that answer while I was scrounging for something.
Well done, guys.
Not fair to put you first.
Nick, Troy, tell the fine folks where people can find you. Of course, people, make sure you follow Spies in Disguise on Twitter at Spies in Disguise, and make sure you pick up the movie on Blu-ray and digital. Of course, like I said, we'll have links. But where can people find you personally on your social media?
You can find me, this is really wildly creative, at Troy Quain on Instagram.
And I'm at It's Nick Bruno on Instagram.
Very cool. Guys, thanks so much for the time. I really enjoyed the chat about the movie and, of course, fatherhood. Continued success in your next project, even if you guys are just having lunch together. But, again, thank you very much for the time.
All right, thanks so much. Really enjoyed it, man.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.